All glories assemble devotees. All glories assemble devotees. All glories assemble devotees. Om Mangala Timurandasya Gana Gana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Vena Tasmai Shri Guru Vena Shri Chaitanya Vishtam Sapitam Vena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dhakti Swapadam Tikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sra Shri Rupam Sakurjatam Sahadana Vaganatam Vitam Tamasya Jivam Sarvetam Savadutam Purichanam Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Vada Krishna Padam Sahadana Vavata Shri Vishakam Vitam Sra Hey Krishna Svurna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagapute Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Bhakti Kanchana Gorange Radhe Vrindavane Shri Vishvani Sute Devi Pranamani Hari Priya Vanchakalpa Trivyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo. So today we're reading from First Canto, Chapter 3, Verse 17, 1 and 2. So we'll read both verses through and the purports, and then we can begin our discussion. Punishment and Reward of Kali. So this is a new chapter we're starting. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sutu vacha tatra gomitunam raja hanumanam anatavat dandahastam cha vishalam tadrishe nipalanchanam Sutta uvacha Sri Sutta Goswami said, Tatra, thereupon, Gomitunam, a cow and a bull, Raja, the king, Hanyamanam, being beaten, Anattavat, appearing to be bereft of their owner, Dandahastam, with a club in hand, Cha, also, Vrishalam, lower caste sudra, Dadrishe, observed, Nipa, a king, Lanchanam, dressed like. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Sutta Goswami said, after reaching that place, the Maharaj Purkit observed that a lower caste sudra, dressed like a king, was beating a cow and a bull with a club, as if they had no owner. Purport. The principal sign of the age of Kali is that lower caste sudras, i.e. men without brahminical culture and spiritual initiation, will be dressed like administrators or kings, and the principal business of such non-kshatriya rulers will be to kill the innocent animals, especially the cows and the bulls, who shall be unprotected by their masters, the bona fide vaishyas, the mercantile community. In the Bhagavad Gita, 18:44, it is said that the vaishyas are meant to deal in agriculture, cow protection, and trade. In the age of Kali, the degraded vaishyas, the mercantile men, are engaged in supplying cows to slaughterhouses. The Kshatriyas are meant to protect the citizens of the state, whereas the Vaishyas are meant to protect the cows and bulls and utilize them to produce grains and milk. The cow is meant to deliver milk, and the bull is meant to produce grains. But in the age of Kali, the Shudra class of men are in the post of administrators, and the cows and bulls, or the mothers and the fathers, unprotected by the Vaishyas, are subjected to the slaughterhouses organized by the Shudra administrators. Okay, so we'll read text 2, and then we can chant that responsively. Risham Murala Davalam. Mehantami Habibhyatam. Vepamanam Padakena. Siddhantam Sudhataritam. Visham Rinoa Davalam. Mehantami Habibhyatam. Vepamanam Padakena. Hirantam Shudra Taritam. Visham Rinala Dalalam. Mehanami Vibhyatam. Vipamanam Padaikena. Hirantam Shudra Taritam. Vishan Munadavalam. Vihantami Vibhyatam. Vipamanam Padaikena. Pantam Taritam. Vishamanadavalam. Mehantami Vibhyatam. Vipamanam Padaikena. Siddhantam Shudra Taritam. Visham Minadavalam. Vihantam Iva Bibhyatam. Vipamanam Padaikena. Siddhantam Shudra Taritam. Anyone else? Okay. Risham, the bull. Mirnala Davalam, as white as a white lotus. Mehantam, urinating. Eva, as if. Bibhyatam, being too afraid. Vepamanam, trembling. Padaikena, standing on only one leg. Vidantam, terrified. Shudra, Shudrataritam, being beaten by a Shudra. Translation. The bull was as white as a white lotus flower. He was terrified of the Shudra who was beating him, and he was so afraid that he was standing on one leg, trembling and urinating. Please repeat. The bull was as white as a white lotus flower.
The bull was as white as a white lotus flower.
He was terrified of the Shudra who was beating him. And he was so afraid that he was standing on one leg. Trembling and urinating. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The next symptom of the age of Kali is that principles of religion, which are all spotlessly white, like the white lotus flower, will be attacked by the uncultured Shudra population of the age. They may be descendants of Brahmana or Kshatriya forefathers, but in the age of Kali, for one of sufficient education and culture of Vedic wisdom, such a Shudra-like population will defy the principles of religion, and persons who are religiously endowed will be terrified by such men. They will declare themselves as adherents of no religious principles, and many isms and cults will spring up in Kali Yuga, only to kill the spotless bull of religion. The state will be declared to be secular, or without any particular principle of religion, and as a result there will be total indifference to the principles of religion. The citizens will be free to act as they like without respect for sadhu, shastra, and guru. The bull standing on one leg indicates that the principles of religion are gradually diminishing. Even the fragmental existence of religious principles will be embarrassed by so many obstacles, as if in the trembling condition of falling down at any time. So, at the end of the last chapter, we learned about the earth and her terrible condition because of all the atheistic kings, and how she was so disturbed. And this happens from time to time. But because of the presence of Lord Krishna, because he was walking on the earth, she regained her strength and she regained her ability to produce. But when said that Kali actually entered into Duryodhan and his associates, but they were unable to do very much because of the presence of Lord Krishna. But that once that Krishna left the planet, as soon as his lotus feet didn't touch the planet anymore, then Kali Yuga really set in. So we see here that such an uncommon event where we see Kali actually beating the cows. So this is Kali Yuga. This is the age that we live in, the age of quarrel and confusion. There's four main yugas, and Satya Yuga, the first stage, is characterized by the mode of goodness. And Krishna comes then, he's dressed in white. And people in Satya Yuga, they're very pure. They're very interested in self-realization. They see everyone equally, and they're self-satisfied. And that's something that's really important to remember, that they have this quality of being self-satisfied. Because when people aren't self-satisfied, civilization becomes very difficult. So that's Satya Yuga, where people are just, they're happy, they're generous, they're charitable, they have all good qualities. And then as the time goes on in each yuga, everything is reduced. So when we come to Treta Yuga, all those qualities are reduced by one quarter. So it's the qualities of Satyam, truth, and Shaucham, cleanliness, tapa, austerity, and dhanam, charity, and daya, mercy. So those qualities that are so present. In fact, it says when Kali Yuga ends and Satya Yuga comes forth again, that it's like a fresh, fragrant breeze that blows over all men, and that they feel inspired and happy. So if we're around that long, hopefully it won't be, that is what we'll experience at that time. So, but it's a long time away. It's like 433,000 years away. So there's a lot of time in between. But in Dwarpa Yuga, it's reduced to one-fourth. And people are still, this incarnation of Krishna, he's red with golden hair. And people are very devoted to sacrifice, and they're very inquisitive about the Supreme Absolute Truth. But again, things are reduced. And then when we go to Dwarpa Yuga, the main idea, Krishna is in a dark bluish form, and people are, the mode of passion is introduced more. So people are noble, they have big families, but they're very attached to what they do. They're proud of what they do. So you can see these Kali Yuga qualities kind of, they have their beginning. And by the time we come to Kali Yuga, things are very, very difficult. It explains in Bhagavatam, Manda Sumanda Matayo, that people are unlucky, they're misguided. They're unhappy, they're always disturbed. So this is a situation that we find ourselves in. And just reading about Kali Yuga and all the qualities, I was just thinking about how many things have changed even in my lifetime, which is pretty insignificant. in terms of all the yugas that have gone by, but still, so many attacks on these good qualities. Just on the principle of truth alone, I did a little bit of research on people who have actually come forward with truth and their fate. So one of these whistleblowers, you know, there's these whistleblowers who, even though there's a lot of difficulty that can come about from being a whistleblower. So a whistleblower is somebody who exposes a situation that can be dangerous to the citizens. So of course, you know, contrast this with kings in other ages, and there's no comparison. But because in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada's describing how the administrators, they're dressed like kings, but they really have no piety behind them, which is the situation now. We see that our leaders, you know, they're very weak, and at the same time, they create a lot of dissension amongst the population. You know, that some people are Republicans, some people are Democrats, some people like Trump, some people like Biden, and become very, even within the devotee community, you see people not talking to each other because this one's a Trump lover, this one likes Biden. I was thinking how unfortunate, because really this is not our business. None of this is our business. Our business is self-realization. So one of the whistleblowers that I came upon was Daniel Ellsberg. And this whistleblower was in the State Department. And he, when he was studying different documents, he came upon these papers that exposed that from that time of Nixon and four presidents back, that there was so many discrepancies and there were so many lies. And just the war in Vietnam itself was based on so many untruths, so many lies. So he actually gave these papers to the New York Times, and they were printed, which is a really big deal. So at that time, he was charged with conspiracy and treason and, you know, the worst crimes. And, you know, these things would mean you would go to prison maybe for the rest of your life or for years. But at that time, there was a Senate committee who researched it, and they realized that, you know, many of these lies that propagated this war, you know, that many of our young men went to this war that had no basis, really. And these attacks on Laos and Cambodia, these massacres that took place, were unnecessary. So this caused a big disruption. In this case, Daniel Ellsberg, he was exonerated because they realized that the people who were trying to condemn him, they were going after him, and they really had no basis. So he was lucky in that way. But it changed the course at that time, because when people realized that the government had cheated them, they did something about it, especially the youth. You know, at that time when, you know, I was probably in high school and going to college, there was a big rebellion against the war, and eventually they were pulled out. So this is the situation where you can't depend on necessarily on the government, you know, on our leaders for telling us the truth. Whereas in a situation like King Prithu, or King Ambarish, or King Rantidev, they were such exemplary leaders. They had such an interest in the welfare of the citizens. They were willing to give everything they had. In Kali Yuga, qualities like Kshama, forgiveness, they're lacking. You know, that kind of forgiveness is lacking. But in other ages, in Satya Yuga and Treta Yuga, they were very prominent. Like King Prithu, you know, he was going to perform this 100 horse sacrifice, and Indra became envious. So even these qualities among the demigods can come forth. He was jealous and envious that maybe King Prithu was after his position. So he tried to stop the horse sacrifice by stealing the horse. And King Prithu became, you know, he was a little upset about that. He's on the last leg of his yajna. But Krishna comes down and he speaks to Prithu, and he explains that maybe it's better just to let it go, you know, not make a big deal of it. And And at that point, King Indra comes and he pays obeisances to Prithu. They both embrace. And Krishna showered his blessings upon King Prithu because of this shama, because of his attitude of forgiveness. In contrast that with our Kali Yuga, where people become upset, like Prabhupada says, any reason to fight, and people are ready. But they don't have that forgiveness quality. You see it even in families where, you know, they get upset over a trifle and they don't talk to each other. Sometimes ever, you know, throughout their life through death. So these are the real kings, just like King Ambarish also was such a great example. You know, here you have King Ambarish and you've got, you know, Daksha who's ready to kill him, takes out his, actually Durvasa, he takes out some of his hair, throws it down, creates this huge demon to go after Ambarish. But Krishna, because he loves his devotees so much and cares for his devotees, he sends off his Sudarshan, which immediately takes the Sudarshan and it just becomes a pile of ashes. And at that point, it goes after Durvasa. So Durvasa's running from place to place. So he runs to Lord Brahma, help, help, help. Lord Brahma says, there's nothing I can do, I can't help you. Then he runs to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva says, same thing, I can't help you. You know, this is not under my jurisdiction. You offended a great devotee. And he goes to Vishnu. Vishnu says the same thing, I can't help you. You need to go to the devotee himself and pay obeisances. So he goes to Ambarish, always, you know, looking over his shoulder, like, how close is it? Is it going to get me? He goes to Ambarish, he pays his obeisances. King Ambarish immediately doesn't go, you know, you deserve it, buddy, you know, you're crazy, you know, like, how could you do such a thing? He just picks him up and embraces him and just basically says, no problem, don't worry about it. Everything's fine. So this is a devotee that he's able to, Tanta Tikshashava Bharata, he's able to tolerate so many situations without being disturbed. So that is, you know, what we need to do, because there's so many instances where in Kali Yuga that we can become, you know, very, very disturbed. There was another whistleblower who was quite famous. Her name is Karen Silkwood. There was actually a movie. I didn't realize it. Maybe some of you have seen it or maybe not, but it was called Silkwood. And this woman, she was working in a nuclear facility, and they had like some kind of instrument that measured radioactivity. So as she was working, this instrument that measured radioactivity just went bonkers, you know. And so she was concerned, you know, for her safety. So she went and had herself evaluated. And as it turned out, her body was full of radioactivity, just absolutely full. So she was like completely freaked out. You can imagine, like, what is this going to do to her? Not only to her, but what is it going to do to other people? What's it going to do to the citizens? So her plan is, she's got a whole folder of papers talking about this discovery that she's made and her concerns, and she's going to a meeting to expose what's going on. But on her way to the meeting, they describe it as a mysterious death. Somehow or other, her car goes off the road, hits a cement, a big cement block, and she's killed. And the folder she had in the car was never found. When they examine the car, they find there's a big dent in the bumper where it looks like someone ran into her car and forced it off the road. So, you know, in this age, there's big consequences for telling the truth sometimes. You know, Srila Prabhupada always told the truth, even though he was told, like when he came over, it said, oh, you know, Swamiji, you can't eat with your hands when you come over, because that scene is, you know, uncivilized. You know, people eat with knives and forks. What did Prabhupada say? I've not come to take knowledge from them. I've come to give knowledge. And as it turns out, the Ayurveda explains that when you, digestion starts with the fingers. You know, you take the, of course you have clean hands, you take it with your fingers and eat it. This actually is an aid to digestion. So in so many ways, Prabhupada was able to tell the truth. And because of his purity, he was able to get away with it, even though in so many cases they tried to discredit him, you know, by disfaming the movement, by saying, you know, they're brainwashing all these young people. And of course, as you know, it went to court. Ultimately, the devotees won this case, you know, and it was shown that it was a bona fide religion, but always telling the truth, especially in Kali Yuga, it often comes with a price. You know, even with ourselves, with the book distributors who go out there, you know, sometimes they run into trouble. But fortunately, we're in an age now that the golden age, that goes on for 10,000 years. We're only into it like 500 and some years. So, you know, we have a little bit of protection. Another whistleblower, his name was Jeffrey Wigand, and he worked for a company, and he was a tobacco company, and he realized that the tobacco company was loading the cigarettes not only with tobacco, but also with ammonia and other chemicals that would make the cigarettes more addictive. And so he exposed this, and he received death threats, so many problems. You know, of course, he was fired from his job. A movie was made about him, too. It's called The Insider. But ultimately, these people were seen as heroes for sticking up for the people. And even just recently, in recent times, we have the example of the opioid crisis, where pharmaceutical companies knowingly distributed medicine for pain, that they knew if you take that medication for 2 weeks, and 2 weeks is not a long time. Let's say you've had a surgery, you know, you're in pain and you take it, sometimes for a month or 2 months, you have a 50% chance of becoming addicted to that. And consequently, there's 400,000 just Americans who have died from this opioid epidemic. So I remember reading an article in the New Yorker, and it was about the Sackler family who owns the Purdue Pharmacy. And in this article, it has the name Sackler, and it has blood dripping from the name, you know, indicating that these people were responsible for knowingly giving out this medication that would cause people to become addicted and cause so many to lose their lives. It's still going on today. Still going on today. There were many suits against these people, many class action suits, and just recently it was brought to court, and somehow or other, no one was prosecuted in the family, in the pharmaceutical. Initially, there were the president and the medical officer, they were given like a misdemeanor, and they paid several $1 million. Nobody went to jail. The same thing with the Sackler family. They paid money, but nobody went to jail. Yet, you know, the little individual who smokes a cigarette of marijuana, they could go to jail. They could go to prison. So it just shows the unfairness, how justice in Kali Yuga is just disintegrating, you know, very, very serious disintegrating. And our responsibility as devotees to try to counteract this tide. Prabhupada explained that we could actually do that. We could turn back the tide. So, Kala Dosha Nidhi, that Kali Yuga, it's an ocean of faults. You know, again, the people are unlucky, they're misguided, you know, they're lazy, you know, but they have the opportunity to change. Krishna Varam Twisha Krishnam, Sangopangastra Parshadam, Yagna Sankirtana Payar Yajantihi Sumedasa. That in the age of Kali, intelligent people perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of God who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although its complexion is not blackish, it's yellow, it's Krishna himself, Sangopangastra, that when he comes with his associates. They're like his weapons. They're servants, they're his weapons to be able to conquer this Kali Yuga. Just like Vajitana was able to conquer Jaghai and Madhai, and he's still conquering. I remember when we would go out on book distribution, you know, back in the day, you know, we'd be so happy to, you know, pass out one book, but Pushkar is constantly showing me online how, especially the devotees in Atlanta, this Sankirtan party, he was showing me one devotee, he was actually, I think his name is Chaitanya, and he grew up in this community, and he was standing next to a man who had a set of Chaitanya Charitamritas and a set of Bhagavatams, entire set, you know? So that's what they do. They go out and they distribute like piles of books like this, and the people are taking them, they're just smiling, because Lord Chaitanya is investing this potency in them to be able to conquer this Kali Yuga. So it says, there's another beautiful, beautiful verse about King Ranti Dev. It goes, Tat Prasanganu Bhavina Ranti Devanu Vartama Apravam Yogina Sarve Narayana Prayana. It said, all those who followed the principles of King Ranti Dev were totally favored by his mercy and became pure devotees. So we have that same opportunity that Srila Prabhupada can, and he has. He's invested that mercy as much as we want and as much as we take advantage of. He is giving us his mercy, and he can make us pure devotees. Once someone asked Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are in your movement? Prabhupada said, how many devotees are there in my movement? He said, well, you know, let's say at that time, 3,000. Prabhupada said, 3,000 pure devotees. So Prabhupada was very liberal that way. But the point is, if we stay under Srila Prabhupada's umbrella, that we're able to be empowered that way. We're able to help make other people pure devotees just by our purity, just by our presence. I ran across some really incredible information that I will share to conquer this age of Kali Yuga. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Maharaj Nimi, he's asking Karbhajana Muni, one of the Navayogendras, he's asking all kinds of questions, and one of the questions he asks them is, what is the best age? Guess what the answer is? Kali Yuga. Kali Yuga. Okay, and these reasons were given for Kali Yuga being the absolute best age. It was so exciting. It said, in Kali Yuga, perfection is easily attained. In fact, it said that Maharaj Prakrit, he could have easily checked Kali. You know, he could have thrown him out of the kingdom. He had that potency, just like it said that Maharaj Prakrit, he could have counteracted the snake bird also, but he didn't, because he was letting Krishna's plan go on. So in this case, he foresaw that if he let Kali Yuga enter, that ultimately so many people would be benefited by taking shelter of the holy name. So he allowed Kali to enter. I thought that was pretty amazing, that so many people would perfect their lives. He said many sages who couldn't perfect their lives previously through their worship, you know, because sometimes it's difficult. There's so many possibilities for things to go wrong when you're doing worship. You know, you say one word wrong, it can completely change the sacrifice. We've heard about that in the Daksha Yogi, you know. Just one little word wrong and it can create great confusion. So many sages, they're waiting for the age of Kali Yuga just so they can take birth and easily ascend, easily get out. Number two, said other ages, there's so many other alternatives. The highly qualified people of Satya Yuga, they couldn't accept just moving their tongue and their lips, just sitting there chanting. It wasn't enough. You know, they had to work harder. They had to do more. They had to have, you know, collect, sometimes it would take years to collect the paraphernalia just to do a yoga, what to speak of the yoga itself. So they just thought it was too easy. But it said in Kali Yuga, there's one door open. Harinama, 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 Yavikavam, Kaluan, Stavan, 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 Gatiran, Yata. But in this age, There's that one door. Chanting Hare Krishna. It's the only way. In Kali Yuga, there's sufficient harassment that forces one to take shelter of the holy name. And they were describing the heavenly planets, like flowers don't decay, the food's always fresh, you never feel fatigued, the government isn't beating you down, you know, isn't persecuting you. So in this age, there's so much harassment. You know, the bodily strength is diminishing. You know, the life force and the age that you live is actually decreasing. And they'll say the age is increasing, but Prabhupada makes the point that you're not taking into account all the abortions, which brings the life expectancy way, way, way down. And that's the situation that we find ourselves in. So number four is the Lord's own emphasis on chanting the holy name. That chanting the holy name destroys all sins. And it's like when you chant the holy name, it's like performing all the nine processes. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Mandanam, Padisevanam, Dasya. All the processes are included in just chanting the holy name. Five is association with other devotees. That many people take shelter of the holy name. It even said that in other yugas, they didn't have these Kirtan Melas, like it's coming up with, you know, our Thanksgiving Kirtan Mela. They didn't have that. And the sweetness, how pleased Lord Chaitanya was to see all the devotees coming together and chanting together. It's a special sweetness that you don't always find. It's a very special mercy that one receives in Kali Yuga. Also, there's no need to perform any other ritualist activity for indebtedness to the forefathers, etc. So you often hear about this sacrifice for the forefathers. I remember when I first joined in Detroit Temple, there was a woman there who would always do some puja to her late husband. And someone told Prabhupada about it. Prabhupada said, that's okay, but not necessary. Because when you're chanting Hare Krishna, when you're going out on Sankirtan, that automatically takes care of any debts, wipes out all your sins, takes out all your debts to the forefathers. That is such a big thing. That is so wonderful. And then number... And it gives an example of like Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, that Subhuti Roy was sprinkled by some contaminated water by a Muslim. So he had become a Muslim. I don't totally get that, but somewhere else, when you're sprinkled by that water, you're a Muslim. So he was like, how can I get back into the Brahminical culture? How can that happen? Guess what the answer was?
Drink hot ghee.
Which basically means you give up your life. But Lord Chaitanya said, just chant the holy name. There's no other atonement necessary. So, you know, of course, we strive to be pure and not to make any mistakes, you know, not to commit any sinful activity. But the fact is, if it does happen, what's the greatest atonement we can make? Chanting. In fact, I'll read one more. This is the last one. So, no sense becoming proud when you take shelter of the holy name. It says that when Lord Chaitanya cured Vasudev the leper, Vasudev thought, oh, now I may become proud, but concomitant in chanting the holy name is Trinarapi Samichena, Todapi Sushina, Amanina, Manidenas, that one should chant the holy name in a humble state of mind, think of oneself lower than the street, more tall than the tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and ready to offer all respects to others. So this is something that isn't always present, especially as Kali Yuga progresses. People don't see everyone equally. And people aren't in a charitable mood. They can barely make ends meet themselves. They don't realize that. I was reading this poem by Shakespeare talking about mercy. And he said that mercy has the quality that when you give the mercy, not only are you blessing that person you give the mercy to, but you take the blessing on yourself. So, and we all experience that. As we give out mercy, we receive mercy. So, anyway, these points were all all given by Bhavna Thakur. And then there were some questions that the devotees had on this process of chanting. So one of the questions that he had, and you may relate with some of his questions, someone said, you know, my mind wanders when I'm chanting all over the universe. Bhakti Thakur's answer was, just chant Hare Krishna. Number two, my mind is always wandering to the past and the future. It's hard for me to stay in the present. Bhakti Thakur's answer, chant anyways. I can't really concentrate on Krishna's name. So many other things come into my mind. Bhakti Thakur's answer, chant anyways. Number four, I really don't have any taste for chanting. It's not like I look forward to it. I might do it, but Bhakti Thakur's answer, chant anyways. I have so many lusty desires. How will I ever get rid of them? I've been chanting for 15 years. I still have them. Bhakti Thakur's answer, chant anyways. I commit so many offenses. You know, I did this, I did that. I'm thinking in my mind, oh, that devotee's a nonsense. This devotee is cruel. This devotee is... Bhakti Thakur's answer, chant anyways. I can't pray to Krishna, and sometimes when I chant, it's very late at night. All together now, Bhakti Thakur's answer, chant anyways. So that's what we've been given. You know, that's what we've been given. We chant anyways because that's our penance. You know, it's the greatest act of piety, and it's the greatest refuge. It's more powerful than the Vedas. It's the highest path to eternal peace. It's the pinnacle of devotion. It solely appeared for the devotee, become the devotee's supreme mentor and master. It says, whoever chants the Lord's name, even in his sleep, easily realizes the holy name is a direct manifestation of Krishna himself despite the influence of Kali Yuga. So we're so lucky. Now that we really understand, you know, that yes, Kali Yuga is bad, but just think that sages are waiting in line to be born here because of what they've done in the other ages. They couldn't perfect it. It was so difficult to perfect. But in this age, we can do it in one life. You know, with one sense of very, very little effort. You know, just keeping ourselves uncontaminated by chanting, by taking Krishna prasadam. Of course, Prabhupada really emphasized this. When we take prasadam in someone's house or, you know, let's say in a restaurant where we don't know what the people's consciousness is like, we can take on the sinful activities of the people that are cooking. Also, just by watching violence, you know, we can see that in this age people become so apathetic. You know, just a couple days ago, I read something where a woman was on a subway or a train, and she was attacked and, you know, sexually attacked by someone. And the people on the train, they didn't do anything. They did nothing. The police said they should have done something, but they didn't. They're probably fearful that maybe that man would turn on them. But this is Kali Yuga. Or, you know, you learn that these videos, you know, the video games, like you think, why are there so many school shootings? When I grew up, never heard of such a thing. But in the military, when they take in new recruits, they show them videos to desensitize them, to be able to go out and kill other human beings, because it's not really natural to kill another human being. It's a difficult thing to do, unless you really feel it's righteous. And some of these wars aren't righteous. Anyway, this military officer was commenting on the fact that these kind of videos are the same kind of videos that our children watch. And many times, you know, it's like they're looking through the sight of a gun, they're pointing at different things, and that combined with all the medications you're giving out so easily. When I was first teaching, this is back in 1971, I had a class of third graders, and three of my students, I still remember some of their names, one was Sam, other one was Rain, I think. And they put them on Ritalin. So Ritalin is a great device. If you have any students with a little bit extra energy, just put them on Ritalin. It kind of makes them like a zombie. They just sit there and they just listen. They don't cause any trouble. So it's great for the teacher in the sense that they don't have to discipline, or instead of like engaging them, they don't have to worry about it. But I found it very disturbing that these very energetic, intelligent, creative students were subdued in such a way. But this is, and also these medications that are given, often students, you know, they grow up and they continue to take these medications that are very dangerous, you know, mentally and physically. So, yeah, we have to be careful of what we expose ourselves to in this age of Kali. We have to realize how fortunate we are that we were born in this age and take advantage of it as much as possible. Even if we feel shy to give out, let's say, a book, we can always set it down in a doctor's office. Or I know some devotees, when they were in Russia, they would just go somewhere, they would make sure no one was looking, they would just set it down somewhere. Because ultimately, these books have a life of their own. You know, people find them, and people... I just met a devotee at Rath Yatra. She was in the car with me when we were driving back from the parade. I asked her how she became a devotee, and she said that she found a card on the street. It was a card that someone had got from Adi Karta, or Adi Karta drafted something. So she emailed him, and he started a correspondence, and she joined Krishna House, she became a devotee. So so many ways that we can reach out and give people this opportunity, because everybody's suffering. You know, we may not realize that, but the suffering is very acute. You know, people are suffering, and the only way to mitigate the suffering is through knowledge. So if anybody has any additions, subtractions, comments, Haribol, somebody over here. Sorry.
Thank you for your class. Thank you. I was just wondering your statement about how in Kali Yuga it's dangerous to tell the truth. But I'm not, hold on. I appreciate that.
Yeah,
you know, that makes sense to me. You gave many examples as well. I was just wondering how to reconcile that with the fact that the bull of Dharma, he's standing on one leg,
mm-hmm.
and that one leg, I believe, is like truthfulness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So how to reconcile that?
Well, I mean, Kali Yuga is moving along, and the truth is diminishing too, because it even says that he's trembling on that leg. So ultimately, this leg is also going to go down, you know? So, except for, Prabhupada would say sometimes that it's possible to push back the tide of Kali Yuga by distributing books and by going out in Harinam. And we've seen that. We've seen that because of these austerities, which don't even really seem like austerities many times, going out in Harinam or distributing books, you know, it's a joyful procedure, that because of that, you know, I've mentioned this many times, but being a vegetarian or vegan is very prominent. You know, every restaurant, airplane, they have these kind of options, vegan and vegetarian options. And kirtan is also, they have rabbi kirtans now. And, you know, it's not unusual. You know, it's become very, very common. So, of course, you know, we aren't afraid to tell the truth because we're not necessarily going against any corporation. But the problem in Kali Yuga is that, you know, the corporations have more power than the truth tellers, and that's why even somebody like Julian Assange or Eric Snowden, you know, they're actually exiled. If they came back to their countries and to the U.S., they'd be immediately put in jail. They're just receiving, you know, protection. Like I think Snowden's in Ecuador. Because they dare to release truthful information. Many times people, when they join a corporation, they have to sign a contract that they won't give out this information. So if they give it out, they can be sued. Just recently, I forgot her name, there's a woman who did that, and she has to go to jail. Even though everything she's saying is true, and it's detrimental to the citizens, you know, just like Snowden, he realized that there's surveillance that's dangerous to the citizens' privacy. That's what he revealed. But he can be held liable for that. So how is that just? How is that just, you know? In a real civilization, you know, that's founded on truth. It's not. So, you know, we are trying to turn back the tide, but, you know, Dharma's on that leg of truth, and it's trembling, and he's frightened. And we're all frightened. I think it was Adikarta said recently, he talked to Shiva Ram Maharaj, and Shiva Ram Maharaj said, this is like, you know, coming down the chat line, so you can take it with a grain of salt. But he said, you know, there's a lot coming. He said, you know, grow your food, store your food. He says, especially in America. So I know he's a great sage. He, just like Maharaj Prickett, was able to foresee that it was a good thing that Kali was coming because it's the easiest way out. You know, Prabhupada once looked at Gokula Ranjana told me that he was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was looking out over the Atlanta skyline, and Prabhupada said, all this will be destroyed. All this will be ruined. So, you know, in the past it usually happens, it's happening somewhere else. You know, it happened in Vietnam, or it's happening in Afghanistan, or it's happening, but we never know what's going to happen. But what we do know is that we, you know, like last night I went to the program with Maharaj, and he read a verse about, you know, wearing the Trinadapisnuche around your neck, you know, always keeping that around your neck. I actually asked him at the end when he asked for questions, I said, Maharaj, because he was preaching about you don't need to be fearful. I said, well, was there any time when you were, you know, on Harinam, you've been all over the world, when you felt fearful? He goes, well, actually, we were in Santiago, Chile, and the students were having a big protest, you know, against the government, and so we just joined in, you know, we were chanting, everybody was dancing, we were having a great old time. All of a sudden, we looked down the road and we saw these tanks coming with rubber bullets and water, you know, these water guns, you know, that could just like send you flying. He said, so him and Vishnujan looked at each other and he said, let's get out of here, you know. So he said, you have to use your intelligence, obviously, but he's not afraid to go anywhere and everywhere. But if there is a dangerous situation, you try to protect yourself from it. Any other realizations? Anything anybody would like to add? Okay. If that's it, we'll stop here. Thank you so much for your kind attention. Yeah, I'm gonna give it to Mark.